all of you for braving the cold and coming to the house of the Lord. I tell you, that last song, Brother Curtis, I did not know you were going to have us sing that one. But that verse where it talked about the fiery trials and the flame, what a perfect introduction to our message tonight. I'm sorry I don't have a PowerPoint tonight or handout. I've been pretty much out of pocket all day. And so I hope that you'll be able to stay up and take some notes tonight. But tonight we're going to be looking at Psalm 119, verse 17 through 24. This is the Gimel section of this psalm. And I want to just start out with some thoughts that you'll know why I was referring back to that song about the fiery trials and the flame and so on. But we all face adversity and opposition while walking with God. You may have heard that the Christian life is not a bed of roses. Have you heard that? But you know that statement's not exactly true, and I'm not embracing a prosperity gospel at all, but I want you to think about that statement for just a minute. I was thinking about it today, and there's a proverb that says there's no rose without a thorn. So I realize we use the bed of roses to talk about it a nice, beautiful, easy way, but there is no rose without a thorn. And so I was thinking about life with Jesus. It is a bed of roses, and there are thorns along the way. So I want you to think about that thought. That simply means that walking with Jesus is beautiful, it's satisfying, it's fragrant, yet there are wounds, scratches, and difficulty along the way. You know, because some people have a hard time reconciling how you can have both blessing and difficulty, or trials, or fiery trials. And just as that song we were singing just a moment ago, the flame is not to hurt us. It's to burn the dross out of our life. It's to purify. And I found something interesting in our Abide reading yesterday in Mark chapter 9, verse 49. It said, "For everyone shall be salted with fire, and every sacrifice shall be salted with salt." And I was meditating on that yesterday and thinking about it, and I was even reading some comments about that verse. And I want to share one preacher's comments. He said, "The meaning of this difficult verse seems to be that believers are purified through suffering and persecution. The link between salt and fire seems to lie in the Old Testament sacrifices, which were accompanied by salt." And he references Leviticus 2:13. And so I want you to think about that. You know, in the Old Testament, the sacrifices were offered with fire and with salt. And so Jesus uses that. And I was thinking about it. I was meditating on this. I was thinking, you know, we are to present our bodies living sacrifices to God. Are we not? Romans 12:1. We're to present our bodies. Based on the mercies of God, we're to present our bodies living sacrifices unto God. And, you know, as you think about that, these fiery trials, these prickly thorns that we go through in our walk with Christ, they're to equip us to be acceptable sacrifices by purging us of sinful tendencies. That was what the Lord gave me yesterday. And I thought it would apply. You're going to see how that's going to apply on our message tonight, but I just want you to think about how that some of the difficulties you may be going through, some of the fiery trials you may be going through, and the adversity, it's God's way of equipping you to be an acceptable sacrifice. It's God's way of purging you of sinful tendencies in your life. In our text, David, he is experiencing adversity, persecution for his faith. But what's interesting, we're going to read in just a moment, what's interesting is that The focus of his prayers is not for protection from the enemies of his physical life, but rather from the enemies of his spiritual life in God. That's what I got when I read this, that David, by no means is he trying to pray for a change of his circumstances. He's not praying for God to remove the persecution, the opposition. He's not interested in an easy or comfortable life, but he's interested in protecting his intimacy with God. And I found that interesting. We see a holy jealousy that he has for his relationship with God. He wanted that protected because, listen, we can go through fiery trials and troubles, and it can cause us to get away from God. There are some dangers that can come in and disrupt our fellowship with God. There are things that can come in our life that can hinder our intimacy with God. And he addresses some of those dangers here. And that's what I'm going to be preaching on tonight. That's what I've titled this, Dangers to Our Intimacy with Christ. Dangers to Our Intimacy with Christ is the title of the message tonight. And I realize that David is not mentioned as the author of this particular psalm, but he is called the Sweet Psalmist of Israel in 2 Samuel 23:1. And so just to make this psalm personal, I'm going to use David's name. Instead of just saying the psalmist wrote or the psalmist said, I'm going to just use David's name just to make it personal. And I'm going to use his name throughout this series as we go through this psalm. You know, I want to remind you of a quote that I shared last week. Pastor Tony Evans said, "Too many people want healing for their hurts, but not a relationship with the healer." And so that fits perfectly, this passage, because David, he's not so much praying for healing of his hurts as much as he is praying about his relationship with the healer. He's a man after God's own heart. And so he saw some dangers to his walk with God, and he prayed that God would protect him from those dangers. We're going to look at those dangers tonight, but let's read it and then pray. Verse 17, he prays, "Deal bountifully with thy servant, that I may live and keep thy word. Open thou mine eyes, that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. I am a stranger in the earth. Hide not thy commandments from me. My soul breaketh for the longing that it hath unto thy judgments at all times. Thou hast rebuked the proud that are cursed, which do err from thy commandments. Remove me from reproach and contempt, for I have kept thy testimonies. Princes also did sit and speak against me, but thy servant did meditate in thy statutes. Thy testimonies also are my delight and my counselors." Father, tonight we thank you so much for your word, that we can gather here tonight around your precious word. And what a firm foundation it is. Lord, I'm thankful that the foundation of our faith and the foundation of our relationship with you, it is found in your word and our relationship with your word. And God, tonight we pray you'd speak through your word to us. Lord, help us to be receptive. Give us ears to hear. Open our eyes. Give us understanding. And I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. So we're looking at some of these dangers to intimacy with God, or we could say to our walk with God, to our relationship with God. And the first one, we're going to look at verse 17, and this is the danger of losing our passion. The danger of losing our passion. In this verse, we see David begins with a humble prayer. He's praying as a servant. He sees himself as God's servant. He recognizes his position before God, and he is praying. And this is what he prays: deal bountifully with thy servant. Now, why is he praying for God to deal bountifully with his servant? That's a very important question. And he answers that in the second part of this verse. He says, that I may live and keep thy word. Now, I want to just say, I don't believe that this is a prayer simply for David's physical life. I don't believe he's just saying, God, help me to remain alive that I can keep your word. I don't think that's what he's praying, because when I read the rest of this and when I get to the next verse and the next verse, he's not talking about his physical life at all. He's talking about his spiritual life. And I looked up this word live, and it's also translated and used as to revive or to quicken or to refresh. And so David, I want you to think about this. He's praying to God to deal bountifully with him, to pour out a bountiful measure of his grace, of his spirit, so that he might live in a spiritual sense, that he might be revived or quickened or refreshed in his spiritual passion for the Lord. Because I want to just say that when we are attacked by enemies, whether it's a physical enemy that's trying to persecute us, or it's other enemies like our flesh or the devil himself, we can easily get discouraged. A discouraged Christian, if they do not turn to the Lord and pray like David did, they're gonna drift from the Lord. I mean, sometimes people can allow trials and things like that to, like I said, to cause you to lose your passion for God, to cause you to begin to question, why, God? Why are you allowing these bad things to happen in my life? Sometimes we can just become overwhelmed by the circumstance and the adversities that we're going through, that we lose that intimacy with Christ. And so it's interesting here that in the midst of all this that's going on, that he prays for a bountiful measure of God's grace. He said, God, deal bountifully with me, so that I might live. In other words, that I might be quickened, that I might be refreshed in the midst of this adversity, in the midst of this pain and this hurt, in the midst of these thorns, that my spiritual life would be refreshed. And notice he said, and keep thy word. If we're not refreshed spiritually, listen, you're going to have a hard time keeping the word of God. If you don't have a bountiful measure of God's grace, you're going to have a hard time keeping his word. I mean, if you're down and discouraged, it's going to be hard to keep his word. Our spiritual life, it's dependent on God's grace. It's dependent on his bounty just as much as our physical life is. I mean, how many of you believe that every breath is given by God? I mean, think about it. I believe that my physical life is absolutely dependent on God. He upholdeth all things by the word of his power. And that includes my life. I mean, just like that, I could drop dead right here in the pulpit. I mean, I realize that if God wants that, then I'm good with it. But I want you to think that our spiritual life is also dependent on God and his grace. We have to keep our spiritual passion for Christ. We need to pray much that God would deal bountifully with us. Here's what Spurgeon wrote about this verse. He said, the prayer of this verse shows that it is only through divine bounty or grace that we can live as faithful servants of God and manifest obedience to his commands. How true that is, and that's basically what I said in a nutshell, that we need God's grace to live as faithful servants, to walk with him, to have intimacy with Christ. And so he prays about this danger of losing his spiritual passion, this danger of, you know, I almost was going to put this danger of just being dead spiritually, but You know, often we don't think of a Christian as being spiritually dead. We always see a lost sinner as dead spiritually, but we're quickened. We're made alive in Christ. But there is a sense in which, even in the Christian life, we can be dead. I mean, a verse comes to mind. I'm thinking right now. I can't quote it, but it's in Ephesians. Yes. Ephesians 5:14, he says, "Wherefore he saith, Awake thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light." He's writing here to Christians, and so he's telling Christians, arise from the dead. And so sometimes Christians, you know, remember the dead church in the book of Revelation, those first two chapters. I can't remember which church it was, but he said that you have a testimony that you live, but you're dead. And so he's concerned about this danger, so he's praying to God. He's pouring out his heart to God, and he's saying, God, I need you to pour out some bountiful grace to me so that I can live and keep your word. So we see this sense of humility, this sense of dependency that David has upon his God. The second danger, I'm going to combine verse 18 and 19 into one. And this is the danger of a dull understanding. The danger of a dull understanding. You know, verse 18 is probably one of my favorite verses. It's not my favorite, but it's one of my favorite verses in this entire psalm. And I don't know how many times I've prayed this verse in my time with the Lord. When I open my Bible, many, many times I'll begin in prayer, open thou my eyes, that I might behold wondrous things out of thy law. I mean, I have that word memorized. I mean, that verse memorized. I have it in my heart because I prayed it so many times to God. I said, God, as I open your word, open my eyes. And I want you to think about it. It's one thing to read the scripture, but quite another thing to understand the scripture. And I see this as part of the verse 17, deal bountifully to thy servant. This is part of that. God, I need your bounty. I need you to be able to see these truths in your word. You know, think of all there is in the Bible, and you don't see it. Think of all the wonder, all the treasure that's there. But if you don't see it, how can you grow close to the Lord? I mean, it's funny. Last Sunday in our prayer meeting, one of the questions was that we were supposed to ask ourselves after we had some scripture in Mark 5 through 8, and we had to observe who got it and who didn't. Who got Jesus? In other words, who understood him and who didn't? And that was our discussion for prayer time last Sunday morning. And that's what this verse is about. There's so many people, even Christians, they just don't get it. They come to church, they know the Bible, they've read the Bible, but do you understand it? Do you get it? Do you really get it? Do you really see it? Do you really understand it? So many times in the Gospels, the disciples could not perceive or understand Jesus' words. I mean, think of it. His very own disciples that he chose. I thought of an example, Mark 8. We read this chapter this past week. If you want to turn there real quick, in Mark chapter 8, verse 14. Mark chapter 8, beginning verse 14. He says here, "Now the disciples had forgotten to take bread, neither had they in the ship with them more than one loaf. And he charged them, saying, Take heed, beware the leaven of the Pharisees and of the leaven of Herod. And they reasoned among themselves, saying, It is because we have no bread. And when Jesus knew it, he said unto them, Why reason ye because ye have no bread? Perceive ye not yet, neither understand? Have ye your heart yet hardened? Having eyes ye see not, having ears hear ye not, and do ye not remember?" And he goes on, but you know, just the point I'm trying to make is that sometimes we don't understand. Sometimes we don't perceive. spiritual truth. We don't have spiritual insight. And living in the days in which we're living, because when we come to the next verse, I am a stranger in the earth. A stranger means a foreigner. We are not of this world. Our citizenship's in heaven. We're walking through this world, and we, and especially with what some of the things we're facing here in 2022, we need God's help. Would you agree? We need God's wisdom about making decisions for our family and for our personal lives. We need the help of God. There are things we're facing today that churches never had to face. I mean, how to do ministry in a COVID, I don't want to say pandemic, but maybe that's what it is. But I mean, how do we do ministry? Because look what it's done to a lot of people, and isolate a lot of people, and isolate the church from people. But we're still called to ministry. We're still called to the Great Commission. So how do we do this? And we need God's help. We need His wisdom. We need His understanding. And here he's praying, God, open thou my eyes, that I may behold one of these things out of thy law. I am a stranger in the earth. Hide not thy commandments from me. And so this is, in verse 18, he's saying open. And then in verse 19, he said hide not. So it's a positive and negative saying the same thing. God, don't hide these things from me. Help me to see them. Help me to know them. Help me to... It's basically saying, God, remove my spiritual blind spots. Give me some spiritual insight. You know, I think about Paul in the New Testament. Because of time, I'm not going to turn there, but in the first chapter, is in verses 15 through 19, he was praying for the church there in Ephesus. And one of the things he prayed in that prayer was that God would give them spiritual understanding, spiritual insight, and to know what they had in Christ, to know the power that was theirs. And then in chapter 3, he prays it again. In chapter 3, I think it begins in verse 18, somewhere around there through verse 20, he's praying that they might be able to comprehend the length, the width, the breadth, the height, the depth, to know the love of Christ. And so he wants them to understand some things. And so he's praying for their spiritual perception or their spiritual insight. And that's what David's doing here. In the midst of all this adversity, he's coming to God and he's saying, God, I need you to open my eyes, because as I'm searching your word, as I'm seeking your word, I know this is how you speak to me, so I need you to open my eyes to help me to see. And don't hide these things from me, but show me. And you know, that's how we grow closer to Christ. That's how we grow intimate to Christ. It's whenever God shows His truth, and it sets our soul on fire. I don't know about you, but when you're really in a place where you need God to speak, and you're begging Him, and you're praying, and you're seeking, and He shows you, and He's like, yes. It's like you just grow closer to Christ. You're thinking, thank you for giving me that. I needed that word in that time to help me. And I think about using this word dull. We'll be getting to this passage in our series on Hebrews, but I think about at the end of Hebrews 5, where he talks about in verse 12, for when the time you ought to be teachers, you have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become as such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. And so he's telling these Christians that you've got a dull understanding of the Word of God. You should be teachers. You should be teaching others. But you don't understand. I have to go back and give you milk. I have to go back to the basic baby stuff to help you. And so I think this point, it's important for us to understand that it's a danger to our intimacy with Christ when we have a dull understanding. We need God's help. We need God's wisdom and His word in our walk with Him. As we come to verse 20, we're going to look at third danger, and that's this: the danger of a content soul. The danger of a content soul. Let's read this verse. He said, "My soul breaketh for the longing that it hath unto thy judgment at all times." This word longing speaks of a desire, a strong desire. And I believe that our intimacy with Christ, it lies in our desires. When our soul is content, when our soul is full, we're not going to long and desire for Him. Proverbs 27:7 says, "The full soul loatheth a honeycomb, but to the hungry soul, every bitter thing is sweet." Here we see in this passage that he is praying out of an intense desire. There's intense hunger and longing and desire unto thy judgments at all times. And this comes right after he's praying, "Open my eyes, don't hide my eyes." And he's telling God in another way, "God, my heart, my soul is breaking. It's breaking for you. It's breaking for your word. I want to know your judgments." And you know, I was thinking about this thought that this desperate desire that he had to know and understand the judgments of God or the word of God, and his soul is crushed with this desire, this unsatisfied desire. But you know, God wants us to have that. He doesn't want us to be full souls. He doesn't want us to be satisfied souls in the sense that I'm just satisfied with my knowledge. I'm satisfied with my walk with Christ. Years and years ago, Brother Clark gave me some of the best wisdom I've never forgotten. And he told me one time in his car, I don't remember if we were out, been out visiting or what, I don't remember, but we were in his car, and he told me, he said, "Never be satisfied with your walk with Christ, but always be satisfied with Christ." And he didn't say it in those exact words, but that's what I remember. The truth that he was sharing with me was that to be satisfied with Christ, but be unsatisfied with me, with my walk, with my growth in Christ. And this is David. He's longing, desiring to grow in his knowledge of Christ, his knowledge of God through the Word. It's a longing that's breaking his soul. It's crushing him. He wants to know God's heart on the matter. And let me just give you a New Testament illustration. Jesus said, "Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled." He said, the blessed are the hungry. The blessed are those that are thirsty. The blessed are those that are not content souls. The blessed are those that have longings. Why? Because when we long for righteousness and we long for Him, we long for His Word, we're going to be seeking. We're going to be seeking His Word. We're going to be praying. We're going to be drawing close to Him. But if we're a content soul, and that's the problem with most Christians today. That is the problem. They're just content. "Oh, I'm content with my spiritual life. I'm content to just sit on the pew. I'm just content to, you know, just with this status quo Christian life. I'm content." Most Christians are that way. They're not hungry. They don't have an intense desire and longing. They don't come to church like, "Man, Lord, I need you. I need you to show me something tonight. I need you to speak to me." They don't go to their prayer time in the morning and their Bible reading and study. They don't go saying, "God, I have a longing in my soul. I want you to speak to me. I want you to teach me. I want you to open my eyes." You see what I'm saying? The danger of a content soul. David didn't have that. But I, just in meditation of these verses, I was thinking about the opposite of what he was saying, that when we don't have that, it's dangerous to our walk with God. And then as we come to verse 21, the danger of pride. Verse 21, he says, "Thou hast rebuked the proud that are cursed, which do err from thy commandments." You know, pride is something that will hinder our walk with the Lord. It will destroy our intimacy with Christ. You can't go into your time with God and you can't come to church and expect to get anything with a proud heart. We know the Bible says that God resisteth the proud. He resists. And here it says he rebukes, or he rebuked the proud. The proud, what do? They err from his commandments. So we have to beware of this danger of pride, and we all have it. Every single one of us have pride. I mean, I have pride. I have to ask God to help me to deny myself every day. God, help me deny myself, take up my cross and follow you. There's so much pride. And so if we want to walk with the Lord, we want to get close to the Lord, we have to beware of this danger of pride and remember that God rebukes the proud. Then we come to verse 22 and 23. I'm going to combine these two, the danger of dwelling on hurts from others. The danger of dwelling on hurts from others. He says in verse 22, "Remove from me reproach and contempt, for I have kept thy testimonies. Princes also did sit and speak against me, but thy servant did meditate in thy statutes." You know, David, he was being attacked by others. Even some in high places or positions. Princes, he said, were sitting and speaking against him. He was being reproached. He was being scorned by others. He was being despised, and all for keeping God's testimonies. While we seek to walk with God and keep his testimonies, listen, we're going to be persecuted. We're going to be hated. I mean, Paul told us, if you live godly in Christ Jesus, you're going to be persecuted. Jesus said, "Blessed are the persecuted, if you're persecuted for my name's sake." But we have to learn how to respond biblically to that persecution. We have to learn how to respond biblically to the hurts that others hurl at us. And I'm telling you, sometimes it's not like we're just rejoicing that we're suffering for Jesus' sake. Sometimes we're hurt. I mean, it hurts deeply. And we go home and we stew over it. But as long as we do that, and we keep in that state of bitterness or anger or unforgiveness, and we don't respond in the right way to that hurt that others hurl at us, listen, it's going to hurt your relationship with Christ. I've seen it so many times. I've seen so many Christians just refusing to forgive other Christians that hurt them. And they don't realize that it's not for that person when they forgive them. It's not for that person. It's for themselves. Because as long as you're holding that unforgiving spirit, that bitterness, it's eating you up. It's destroying your relationship or your fellowship. It's destroying your intimacy with Christ. You can't be close to Christ and be holding bitterness in your heart. If you've got unforgiveness in your heart, listen, you can't be close to the Lord. You're going to go to the Bible and you're going to pray, and you're not going to see what God wants you to see. You're not going to hear from God. As long as you're proud, he's resisting you. You can go to the Word and read it all you want, but You better get everything right first. Deal with those heart hurts. And David did. He prayed about it. And you know, when he prayed, "Remove from me reproach and contempt," I think he prayed that because of his reputation as a believer. He was thinking about the testimony of God. Because I like what he said, "For I have kept thy testimonies." Remember, testimony speaks of God's testimony that he gives in Scripture. And we are to be light, the light of the world. Jesus is the light, but he said to his disciples, "You are the light of the world." So we are to reflect his light. And so we represent Christ. And so he was concerned about this thing, because it would ultimately reflect on the Lord. And Spurgeon, I like what he said on this verse. It kind of helps you. It will help you understand what I just tried to explain. He said this: "He who says, 'I care nothing for my reputation,' is not a wise man. For in Solomon's esteem, a good name is better than precious ointment. The best way to deal with slander is to pray about it. God will either remove it or remove the sting from it. God will keep those who keep his testimonies. A good conscience is the best security for a good name. Reproach will not abide with those who abide with Christ. Neither will contempt remain upon those who remain faithful to the ways of the Lord." Wow. That is good. That is good. I think that's what David's praying here. He's concerned about more about God's testimony than his own self. So he's praying that God would remove this, because a good name is better than precious ointment. So we have to respond properly and in the right spirit toward our enemies. And I want you to notice something else here. Princes also did sit and speak against me. But notice what he said: "But thy servant did meditate in thy statutes." He not only prayed about this, but he, instead of dwelling, that's the point, the danger of dwelling on hurts that others inflict upon us. Instead of dwelling on these things, he meditated on the Word of God. When you're angry, you hurt, you're like, "I'm never going to forgive that person," just go meditate on Ephesians 4:32. Go meditate on that for a while. Where it talks about you're to forgive as Christ has forgiven you. Aren't you thankful that Christ has forgiven you a lot of hurts that you have done to hurt him? Every time you've gone to him, he's forgiven you. Every single time. But yet, we don't want to forgive others. But he tells us to forgive just as he has forgiven us, in the same manner that he's forgiven us. The same heart, the same spirit. And so that's how we're to forgive others. Just meditate on that. Well, that's what David said he did. He meditated in... He said, "In thy statutes." Remember, statutes are the steps that God has in place in his word to help us walk with him. And some of the steps of how to forgive a person, they're outlined in the Scripture. So when we are hurt by others, when we are scorned and reproached and spoke against, the Scripture gives us steps of how to deal with that. The Scripture gives us steps of how to respond to that. Meditate in it. I'm going to go ahead and take verse 24 and tie it into that point, because we only have 5 points tonight. I like how David said, "Thy testimonies also are my delight and my counselors." You know, as he was meditating in the scriptures about this, he delighted in what God said about it. He delighted in it. You know, when we're hurt by other people, it hurts. We go to the Lord God, and he tells us what to do about it. Oh, you're like, God, I don't want to do that. But David here delights in it. He saw God's testimonies as his delight and his counselors. The word counselors here, it literally means men of my counsel. And in the Hebrew, it has two words, men and counsel. And so it's like David saying that the word of God was his personal advisory cabinet. You know, like president has, he has a cabinet that, of advisors. Well, David said, you know, David the king, he said right here, this word of God, this is my advisory cabinet. This is where I go for counsel. This is where I go when I need help and counsel and how to deal with certain situations. And so there's a danger when we dwell on those hurts and we don't deal with it according to the scriptures. So tonight, as we think about this, as we conclude, we go back to verse 17, where he starts with this prayer, deal bountifully with thy servant, that I may live and keep thy word. It's hard to stay away from these dangers when we are in the midst of adversity. It's hard. But going back to this prayer, God, I need you to deal bountifully with me. I need you to refresh my soul and spirit. I need you to revive me. I need you to open my eyes and help me to see clearly. You see how important that is to our walk with God? I mean, if we don't deal with adversity in that way, it can really, instead of making us better, it can make us bitter. You've heard that. Trials can make you better or they can make you bitter. And there's a lot of bitter Christians, unfortunately. A lot of bitter Christians. They're hurt. They've been hurt by people. They've been hurt by circumstances. And they allow those hurts to destroy their intimacy with the Lord. They don't even go to church. They won't read their Bible. They don't pray. It's because they hurt. And I think that this section of this psalm is so powerful because it shows us how to deal with adversity. It shows us some dangers to watch out for. Things that will destroy intimacy. And so remember that our walk with God, it is a bed of roses, but there are thorns along the way. And God put those there for a reason. He put those there to equip us, to purge us of sinful tendencies, to help us to grow closer to Him. And so let's keep those things in mind, that let's not be so occupied with our physical life. When we come to God in prayer, and I'm not saying it's wrong to pray for our physical life. I mean, Jesus said, pray, give us this day our daily bread. I mean, I understand that. But what I'm saying is we should be also focused on our spiritual life and our walk with the Lord. We should be jealous for that relationship with God and be aware of these dangers that when we do go through these trials, let's follow some of these principles that he gives us here. Let us go to the Lord in prayer. Let us ask God to open our eyes and help us to see so we can know how to respond to these things. Let's keep that heart of desire, of longing for him, that longing to know his wisdom and his word. And so when you get up in the morning, I hope you pray some of these verses. especially verse 18. You get up and read your Abide reading. God, open thou mine eyes, that I might behold wondrous things out of thy law. Father, tonight we're so grateful. Lord, your word is a treasure house. There's so many precious treasures to be found in your word. Or there's so much wisdom, Lord, to help us with our problems, to help us with our daily lives. But most important is that relationship with you, that as we draw close to you and as we come to know you better and come to understand your ways through your word, Lord, we are able better to obey your word and live a life that's pleasing to you, live a life that's focused on you, live a life that's pleasing and honoring to your name. God, I pray you'd help us to be aware of these dangers. Lord, we're going through a strange time. There's a lot of people sick, a lot of people hurting. Lord, help us through these hurts to draw nigh to you. Help us through these hurts to pray more. Help us through these hurts to minister to people who are hurting. Lord, we love you tonight. Thank you for your word. Thank you for speaking to us. Thank you for your presence with us tonight. We ask these things in the name of Jesus, that's above every other name. Amen.